Hi, this is Brad Linscott on the Premier Field Engineering team here at Microsoft Support, continuing our series on .NET debugging. In this episode, I'm going to show you some of the basics of how to dump out an object in memory using the same tools that we've been using before, such as WinDBG, SOS, and PSS Core 4. There aren't really any slides with this episode, so the whole time we'll be spending looking at a demo. So the first thing I'll do is I'll just take you into Visual Studio so that you can see the source or some of the source for this particular sample application. And you can see here we've got an object called MyObject. And he's got several different members here, several different types. Got a couple of strings, date time, hash table, that will be interesting. A Boolean, custom object, and others. And the only reason that I'm showing you the source code is so that for those of you who aren't used to looking at the object in a debugger, once we do that, hopefully it'll be a little bit easier to understand what you're seeing now that you've taken a look at the source code. So now that we've seen that, I'm going to go ahead and run my sample application. And I'm going to call a function that will throw an unhandled exception. When that happens, I've got my JIT debugger set up to be WinDBG. So WinDBG pops right up, and the first thing I'll do is I will load SOS. And this is a 4.0 application, so I'm going to specify CLR as the DLL. And as you can see from these addresses here, this is a 64-bit application. We can see here that SOS did load successfully. So if I wanted to find the object that we're looking at in Visual Studio, my object, if I want to find that in the debugger, using the debugger in the process, how do I do that? There are actually a couple different ways to do it. So I'm going to use the dump heap dash type argument. And this assumes that I know the exact case and syntax of the object, including the namespace. So it's going to be netdebug demos.myObject. And there we go. There is my one instance of netdebugdemos.myObject. Remember that .NET is case sensitive. So if I replace the lowercase t here with a capital T, that command won't return anything. You get a total of zero objects. Now what if I don't know the syntax or the case of exact syntax or the case of the object that in question? What if I know just part of it? You can always use dump heap dash stat. And this will dump out every single managed object that was alive in the process when the debugger attached. In this case, we've got 4,593 managed objects. That's a small number, but this is just a sample application. And then I can use find in WinDBG to say look for my object. Scroll up. And there he is. The temptation here the first time is to take this first column, assuming that this is the address of the object, and use that to dump out the object, but the reality is that column is not the address of the object. Instead, it is the method table address. What is a method table? A method table is just an internal structure that, among other things, makes it easy for us to access reference types in .NET. And I'll use that here in just a second to get my object. The count column, the total number of instances of a class that's over here under the class name, and the total size. This is in bytes and decimal. So I've got one instance of system.drawing.sizef that is 24 bytes. Now keep in mind when you see this 24 bytes, this does not take into account the size of the members of that object. So let me see if I can find my object again. He's going to be down here. If my object had a string that was, say, 1 kilobyte, this object would still only take up 80 bytes in memory. The total size column here does not take into account the size of the members of my object, just the actual object itself. So now that I have the method table address, we can do dump heap dash mt for method table and dump out the method table to get the address of my object. And this should be the same output as what I got earlier with dump heap dash type. And lo and behold, it is. So there is the address of the actual object. We'll use SOS's dump obj, or DO for short, command, and pass the address of the object. And here we get the entire object and all its members. So you can see over here we've got the name of the members. This should look familiar from what we looked at in Visual Studio earlier. And this is the value column over here. Those are the addresses or the values of those members. We said earlier that netdebugdemos.myobject is 80 bytes in size, or hexadecimal 50. Hopefully this will make it a little bit easier to understand. If we take a look at the offset column, the last member of the object is 50 bytes hexadecimal offset from the base address of the object. So if you add 80 bytes hexadecimal 50 to that base address, you'll arrive at the last member of that object. One of the great things about debugging .NET applications, one of the things that makes it easy, is that everything in .NET is an object. A string is an object, a boolean is an object, an int is an object, an array is an object. So if you're curious about any particular member or field, you can always just dump them out. So let's take a look at the myString property here. We can see here that a string object in .NET is laid out with three fields. Okay, the first two are the only ones of interest. You have your string length. In this case, the length of the string is 11 bytes. You can see here on the string field of this object, it actually outputs the value of the string. Take it from me, you won't always get it that easy. Sometimes the strings are too large to print out. Sometimes they're not too large, but they're just not printed out. So although it's nice to say, oh, well, I just get the value of the string from doing a bang do, and there I get it, that's not always the case. We said over here that the string length is, property is 11, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 characters. The second field here, m first char, 68. What is that 68? Well, let's take a look at our character map. We're looking for 68. So let's see if we can just hover over and find our 68. There we go, lowercase h, and that is the first character of our string, right there. All right, here. So, like I said earlier, you won't always have the luxury of having the string output for you right here. Well, how do you get the value of the string if it's not output for you? Well, that's when you take the base address of the object, which is right here, you add on to it 12 bytes or C, which is where the mFirstChar member starts. There are a couple different ways to do this. I like reverting back to the native dump command, which is D for dump, and since everything in .NET is Unicode, I'll use the DU variation. The base address of the object plus an offset of C, and there we go, hello world. If we apply this to another string object right here, let's take a look at this my property member and do a DU on that base address of the object plus an offset of C. You'll get the value of that particular string. If you want to do this in, say, a 32-bit application, whatever I'm showing you here is specific to 64-bit applications. If you take a look at the 32-bit application, you might find that these offsets are not the same. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that the mFirstChar member is not an offset of C, it's an offset of 10, hexadecimal. So this is how you investigate to find out what those offsets are. Don't take it just from a blog site or these videos. Do the investigation yourself to find out what the true offsets are and how the object really is laid out. Let's take a look at a date time object right here. Take a look at his what he looks like in memory. So we'll take the value of the object there and do a bang do on him. And we get something not so nice. We get this invalid object. And why is that? Well, the reason is because DO only works with reference types. And this value type field here shows us that a date time type is a value type. This is where it comes in handy to use PSS Core 4. Where do you get PSS Core 4? You can always go to our download site, download PSS Core 4, and there you get the 32-bit and 64-bit builds of PSS Core 4. Alright, back to the debugger. Let's take a look at the help for this guy. Looking, there's a lot of different commands here in PSS Core 4, a little bit more than what's in SOS. If you take a look at this convert value type date to date command, the abbreviation of CVTDD, that is how you can easily output a date time type. So bang, CVTDD, our object, and there you get something much easier to look at than what we had before. Today's date and time. All right, let's take a look at something more interesting. Whoa. Let's take a look at this hash table, because there are hash tables all over .NET, because these guys can be interesting to look at. So bang DO on that guy. And we get something unexpected. And the reason is because I have .NET 4.5 installed on my laptop, and there is, at the current time, there is no PSS Core 4 for .NET 4.5. So what I'll do is I will unload PSS Core 4.dll, and we'll go back to just using SOS. So if I use bang da, trying to do the hash table. There we go. Make it a little bit easier to see here. So for the hash table, you can see all its members over here. What you really want to pay attention to here is the buckets member, and dump that out to find some of the contents of the hash table. So this guy, you dump him out, you'll see that he is an array. So this is when we can use the bang dump array command. And we see that there are a total of 7 elements in here. If we use the dash details argument, we can get even more information about each element in the array. We'll go up here at the top, start with the first one. And we see here that we've got the key value pairs. So you dig into the key. For example, in this case, say bang DO for the key. You can see me type it down here. And this guy is a string, and we know that if you dump out the string plus an offset of C, you get the contents of the string, in this case 4. That is the key. What about the value? Let's go all the way back up here. There's our value. This is of type system.object, as you can see here. Don't know what kind of object he is, so bang DO on this guy. He's also a string. And there's the value right there, bar. So some of you may be thinking, man, this is kind of tedious to go through all of this just to get the values of my key value pair. And yes, it can be. There are ways that you can shorten it. So for example, let's take a look at how we can do that. If you note that, and we'll work backwards here, we'll start with our buckets field of the hash table. Let me just take this guy and use the native command to dump him out in memory. And what I see here, and this looks familiar, the third argument is 7. This is the number of fields. Number of elements in the array. There we go right there. If we take a look at some of these key value pairs, let's take a look here and see if this matches up. 1028. 1028. Both start with 1028F. 70 and 878. 70 and 878. 70 and 878. So if I were to take this address and do a DU on this address plus an offset of C, would I get my 4? Yes. Would I get my bar from this guy? Yes, I would. So knowing this, knowing how the objects are laid out in memory, if I just get the value of my hash table, go all the way back up here for my hash table, is there a command that will allow me to take the hash table address, get to the buckets element over here, from the buckets element, get to the key value pairs of each one of my elements? Well, you can certainly piece it together. And you do that by using a pointer to a pointer of our object. That's my hash table address right there. The buckets element is an offset of 8. So I want to get the address that this guy points to. Scroll down here in my, see, command plus 8. From that, I just took a look at this down here. My key value pairs are an offset, let's see, that's 4, 8, 10, 4, 8, C, then 10. That's my first key. And since I know that this guy is of type string, and I know that the string, the value of that string is an offset of C, I can try this. There we go. That is my first key. My next value, let's see, that was 10. 14, 18. All right, so that gets it to us, but it's still a little complicated. Is there a better way to do this? Well, yeah, there actually is. I've got a teammate who has a really cool blog called Debugging Toolbox. So search for Debugging Toolbox. His name is Roberto Farah. And he's got a tool on here, on his blog, that will automate some of this for you. So the only other thing I know, he's got a lot of entries in his blog, so I'll search for my last name, because we worked together on this. And he's got a PowerShell script here that will show you how to extract. And he's got the source for the PowerShell script as well, that will do some of what we just talked about here. The sample that I wrote out for him. So, that's an extended primer on how to dump out objects in memory using WinDBG and SOS. I hope this helps some folks to get started debugging. Again, everything that I covered here, you can do in a live debug as well as a crash dump file. I hope this helps some folks get kickstarted on learning how to use the debuggers to do some production type debugging with WinDBG and crash dumps, and start taking a look at their processes to find a root cause of their problems. Join us again for another episode next time on .NET debugging for the production environment.